We are in Advent, the second week, which is the theme of peace. And we realized that means maybe something different to everybody. So we thought we would share what peace means to us. Can you use your big voice? This is Cassidy. Cassidy, what do you think of when you think of peace?
I think of, well, sometimes my cats fight a lot. And when I think of peace, I think of when they do not fight.
This is Jonah. Jonah, what do you think of when you think of peace?
What peace makes me think of is when Calvin Coolidge was president and there was no war, but after he was gone and there was another president, there started being more wars. And I would like it to be more like when Calvin Coolidge was president than the other person.
To me, when I started thinking about peace as a busy mom, I thought, oh, well, peace is the time when these guys are in bed and it's a quiet moment and I could just be. And then I was really challenged by that, thinking, wow, how much do I miss if I'm waiting for that moment to have peace? And I was thinking about Jesus, who's called the Prince of Peace, and how he didn't wait. He came on down to the earth in all the chaos and all the mess, and he brought the peace to us. So I'm challenging you and myself this week, in the middle of your busy life, to coexist with peace, to think of the spirit that the Lord has put in you, and the fruit that it can produce in us, which we are told in the Bible one of those fruits is peace. So find a way for that to happen together.
To me, peace means two different things. One is unity, and the other one is divine conflict. And I'll briefly explain both of those. Unity, well, it reminds me of this. I'll tell a short story. There was a study done in China where some sociologists took 25 elementary school children, 5 and 6 years old, gave them each a block, and they were different sizes. Some were square, some were rectangles, some were small, some were large, some were heavy, some were light. And they put them on a playground, and they said, play for 30 minutes, but you have to hold your block. And after 30 minutes, let me get this right, there were some instances. There were 12 instances of childish conflict, 7 instances of emotional breakdown, 4 cases of isolation and boredom, especially the ones holding the heavy blocks, and a single case of cooperation. Then they took the kids to an orchard, an apple orchard, and they put them under a tree, and they said, you have 30 minutes to pick 25 apples for each other, and the only rule is you can't climb the tree. And within 15 minutes, the children had already constructed 2 towers where they got up high enough to harvest 25 apples. There was only one instance of arguing that was who got to pick the first apple. And I just like how they had a common goal is what united the children. But the interesting part of the story is they took them back to the playground and they said, okay, go play again, but this time you can do whatever you want with your blocks. And after 30 minutes, the kids had constructed a fort, a bridge, a tunnel, and a game about sliding the block down the slide into another wall of blocks and knocking it down. Childish conflicts were reduced to 2, emotional breakdowns were reduced to 1, isolation and boredom 0, and a massive increase in cooperation. So I just like how even after a difficult time on the playground the first time, a single act of a successful experience is what unified the children the second time. Now, the other part that I like is, or the other definition I like is divine conflict. And I'm going to read a verse here in Romans 12. If possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. And I'll paraphrase here, but it goes on to say how to do this. By not repaying evil for evil. Don't take revenge. Feed the hungry. Feed your enemy. And don't be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. And I think that for me, peace is not just the absence of conflict, but a very active role in pursuing unity and overcoming evil with good. So that's what peace means to me. Oh, you already lit the candle. Great.
You'd think we'd have this down. Hi, good morning. I love that. Thank you guys for sharing. It was reminding me in the amplified version of the Beatitudes, one of the lines is, blessed are the makers and maintainers of peace. And so I love that challenge this week that we can all peace. Bye, son. That's my son. He's quite comfortable with this. It is so good to see you guys this morning. Thank you for being here, and hopefully the holiday season isn't too chaotic yet for everyone. But yeah, we're just grateful to share this morning the space with you guys. If you are new or newish, I know I've met a couple who are checking things out this morning, we would love to connect with you. And so one of the ways to do that is there's connect cards in the seats, or you can grab one at the table where you walked in. And just share your information so that we can be in touch with you and answer any questions you may have, get you connected however you would like to be connected. We'd be grateful for that. Another way you can do that is through our app. We do have an app that you can search. There's a QR code right there, but you can also search Church Center app and do it that way as well and fill out a digital Connect card. But obviously the big announcement I want to share with you guys is that we have our first ever Christmas Eve service we get to have here at the Boys and Girls Club on Christmas Eve. We're going to be having that at 6 o'clock on the 24th, and so we would love for you to join us. It's going to be a really special time. But one of the things I was thinking about, too, is just be thinking this week and this month who maybe you can invite, who you can invite to come share that time with us. We went and saw, I don't know if you guys have heard of that movie, The Best Christmas Pageant Ever. We went and saw that last night. It was super cute. But one of the parts of the storyline was that there was these kids who had never heard the Christmas story before. And so as they were hearing the story from Luke read, they were just like, you could just see their eyes, and they had all these questions, and just hearing that story for the first time of Jesus' birth was just this transforming thing for them. And how cool would it be if we, as we go through our weeks, just have eyes to see maybe who we can invite and who might not know the power of that Christmas story. And so invite them to come. We'll have cookies from Dirty Dough. If you guys haven't been there, that's really good. We'll have cookies and cider and hot chocolate and all the fun things too that night. But the other thing I want to share with you guys is last week we shared with in honor of Giving Tuesday, we were going to be giving a portion of tithes and donations to the Boys and Girls Club, to their Smart Start program. And I'm excited to share that we were able to provide winter clothes and toys for 6 of the kids in their Smart Start program, which is super cool. I love it. I just think of those families and just how meaningful that is to have such practical gifts for their kids in this season. And so thank you guys for your faithfulness in giving. If you feel inclined to give, we do have the joy boxes. There's one over there, one in the back. You can give online as well. So thank you for your faithfulness, for your generosity. It's really cool that we get to give back, and our heart obviously is to serve this community, not just serve ourselves. So it was really cool that we got to do that. What am I missing? I feel like I'm missing something. We got it. All right, I'm going to have my friend Julie come on up and share the word. If you guys would please stand, if you're able, for the reading of our passage this morning.
Thank you, Denise. Good morning, everybody. Today is Luke 1:26-38, which is the birth of Jesus foretold. In the 6th month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth. A virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings. Favor done, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying, and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father, David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren, for nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Amen. You can have a seat. Good morning, everybody. If you don't know me yet, my name is Michael, pastor here at The Dwelling. It is good to be with everybody this morning. I guess I got to back up. It's the Holy Spirit. It's okay. We are in week two of our Advent series, which we're calling Travel Light. And it's this idea that, especially during the holidays, the Christmas season, right, we all kind of have this extra sense of, you know, a lot of things going on in our lives, whether that's accumulating stuff. Last week, Denise did a fabulous job kind of breaking down this idea that the holidays just kind of illuminate this fact that we really like to accumulate stuff in this season, don't we? Because we're making our Christmas lists, our wish lists. I'm sure our kids have an endless list of things that they want. You know, my daughter being 12, the lists are changing, that's for sure, compared to what it used to be. And that's not a bad thing in and of itself, but it just kind of illuminates this fact that we like to accumulate stuff, don't we, as human beings? And I think about one of the most lucrative industries right now in our country is storage facilities, storage parks practically, right? Where you have all these containers and storage units that people are renting to just put their stuff. And that's just quite the phenomenon. But today, we're kind of moving into this next idea that goes hand in hand, I believe, with our Advent theme of peace today, is this idea that we are letting go of this thing called control. Ooh, the C word, right? And so today we're going to jump into that because ultimately my heart and hope is that as we go through this series, as we inch closer to Christmas, we will do business with God in such a way that we remove some of those baggages that we have in our lives so that we can engage God better, engage God in a deeper, more intimate way through this season. So if you are new with us, as Denise said, we're glad you're here checking things out. We would love to connect with you in any way that we can. But today, I want to prioritize one thing, is that we are all participants. So you are going to participate right now. I have a question for you to start things off, okay? Here's what we're going to do. How many of you would honestly say that there is at least one area in your life right now, and some of you, maybe that's multiple areas, but at least one area that is absolutely hard for you to not control, that you just love to control that one thing? And for those of you who are not raising your hand, we'll talk after. No, I'm just kidding. Now, some of you are like, maybe not me, but you're probably thinking to yourself, that person next to me, you know, yeah, there's for sure something that they got going on that is an issue for them. So if they didn't raise their hand, you're probably going to talk to them afterwards too, right? But either way, you're probably the one that is in that situation of trying to control, right? Anyways, so just kidding. We're going to dive into our chunk of scripture this morning. And thank you, Julie, for reading that passage, Luke chapter 1, So feel free to turn there if you have a Bible. If you don't, we do have Bibles in the back that are absolutely free for you to take and have as your very own Bible. Otherwise, you can also, you know, use the app on the phone. The church app has the notes there. Either way is good for us. But we are jumping into this passage. So I want to recap real quick. So we have this passage where Mary, who is engaged to be, or is basically to be married to Joseph, right? And the interesting thing about this scenario is it's not like anything that we have in our own culture today. When you propose and you are now engaged to your fiance in our culture, there's not a whole lot that's binding that together, is there? Really, it's just more of a formality before you actually tie the knot, right? Before you have that marriage certificate and you have the witnesses and you sign on the dotted line, right? Well, that wasn't the case in this scenario. By being engaged, that was a binding contract between Mary and Joseph. So up to this point, they had done everything by the book. This is kind of one of those stories where we have a really good example of a couple that has done things by the book, right? They have walked upright. They have walked with integrity. They have done this the way that God had intended and designed for this to come about. And so all of a sudden, we have this situation where the angel Gabriel appears out of nowhere to Mary and starts to speak into her life in such a way that is about to wreck her world. At least it seems that way at first, right? So here's what's happening, okay? So the angel Gabriel comes to Mary and out of nowhere says, "Greetings, highly favored woman." Now, immediately, Mary, my sister's name is Mary, and I get them mixed up all the time. It's crazy. So Mary, immediately by hearing this, she is going to be utterly confused. Because here's what that means. By the angel calling her a highly favored woman, the first thing that any woman in this culture would think about is children. To be a highly favored woman in this culture would have meant that she was blessed in her womb to bear children, and many of them. That was just the default. So you have to imagine, the moment she hears this from the angel, she is utterly confused. Why? Because she's a virgin. Because she's like 13 years old. That's how young they were when they were betrothed to be married. So immediately she hears this, and she has to be completely shocked at this title that she's hearing, because favor always implied fertility and fruitfulness for women. And it says in this passage that her response was that she was greatly troubled. Now, that phrasing, I don't think does justice for really how Mary was feeling in this moment, because other translations actually say that she was disturbed and confused by what she was hearing. Disturbed at the deepest parts of her core. I think today, some of us sitting in these chairs, or maybe even standing on the stage right now, can easily relate, as we're gathered today, about this idea about being utterly confused and disturbed by certain situations that we are dealing with in our own personal lives, can't we? We walked into these doors today with conflict and struggles and things that have caused us to be stopped right in our very tracks, that is bringing about this utter confusion and disturbing nature in our lives right now. We are greatly troubled. Maybe it's, you know, you're wondering about a job situation. And you're just like, why am I spinning my wheels? Maybe for some of us, it's the reality that this Christmas season, there is no longer a certain relative that's going to be at the table like there was last year. And we're asking the question, like, why? Like, why am I struggling with these things? I wish this wasn't happening. I just wish I could have control of my life. I wish we could take the bull by the horns and just get ahead on our finances. Maybe you're the family that this year, you don't know how you're going to put Christmas presents under the tree for your kids. There are so many scenarios that can cause us to relate to the deepest parts of our core for what Mary was experiencing in this moment. Some of us are experiencing a situation right now where everything has been going great for a long time, right? Family's healthy, finances are good, people are close to us in our lives, and all of a sudden we are stopped in the middle of our tracks and everything is just flipped upside down. Because everything had been going right for Mary up until this moment. She was engaged to a wonderful man who was of high character, who was actually from the line of David, which is a whole other story for another day. But this Mary, this was Mary in this moment, the very mother of our Savior and King Jesus, who is now in this moment of life interrupted. And so verse 30, Jesus, or the angel says to her, there's about to be this crazy thing that happens to you that is going to turn your world upside down, but don't be afraid. Do not be afraid, for God has found favor with you. You have found favor with the God of all things. It's crazy. And so all of a sudden, this is happening, and Mary is starting to like process what this angel is saying. She is struck to her core. At first, she's confused and wrestling through this. How can this be? And she's like, well, how has this happened? I'm a virgin. Like, you know, you're going to have this baby, and he's going to be called Emmanuel. He's going to be the king of all things. He's going to save the world. And she's just like, well, how are you? What? She's asking all these questions. The who, what, where, when, why, and how in her life. And all of a sudden, she gets to this place. And I think this is where Mary's character comes into play. Because the angel tells her all these things, and Mary's response is incredible. She says, this is not convenient for me. It's not my 5-year plan, God. You don't understand. If this happens to me, I'm not going to fit in my wedding dress. I wasn't supposed to do this yet. I'm only 12 years old. That's not what she says. Right? That's not what we see here. What is her response? She says something beautiful here. She says, I am the Lord's servant. May everything you say, may everything you have said to me today be fulfilled. Let it be. What a response. After hearing these incredible words from the angel, she says, let it be. According to your word, let it be. Let it be, let it be. I just think of the Beatles. Anyways. Even in the midst of her confusion, even in the midst of her distress, she finds a way in her heart to respond by saying, let it be, God. Just let it be. Now, I'm not a mind reader, but I can probably confidently say that some of us here today are thinking, this is the perfect message for my spouse or my mother-in-law or somebody else. You fill in the blanks, right? And you're thinking to yourself, yeah, this, hopefully their ears are open, right? But maybe it's a thing where you need to have your heart and open today, because maybe you're the one that has this struggle with control and letting go. No, of course not, right? No, none of us. I'm not controlling. I'm just aggressively helpful. There we go. Thank you for that. I like it. Some of us are wound so tight, right, that We want to control everything in our lives. The struggle is real. Trust me, I get it. You know, for us right now, we're in this season with our kids, right? We have a now 12-year-old and a 9-year-old. And it is so hard and so tempting at times to try to control everything for our kids, especially our daughter, who is now coming into this new season of growing up and becoming her own person and becoming a young lady. Trust me, I'm a dad. It's hard to not want to try to control everything about her and for her. And it's getting to that point, you know, where the comments are being made, stop controlling my life. You know, it's there. I get that. But there is something about us as human beings that there is this phenomenon, this vicious cycle that happens, that the more we try to control, the harder it is to recognize in the struggle it is that we don't have control, ultimately. We want to control, right? Some of us want to control the narrative in our lives, maybe about how people perceive us. Maybe you're that type of person that is so wrapped up in how people are viewing you and what people how people see you, that you're trying to control the narrative of how you're propping yourself up and your reputation. You want to be seen as somebody, and you're doing everything you can to make that happen. Social media has not made that any easier for us, has it? Right? We take pictures and we doctor them up for hours before we finally post it to social media, to Instagram, right? Or we take 37,000 pictures for Christmas before we finally pick the right picture to go in our Christmas card, because it's the one that looks like we have it all together. And the truth is, maybe we just don't. So there is something inside of all of us that struggles with this idea of control. We want to control those things in our lives. And here's the interesting thing, and I kind of mentioned this. The more you try to control, the more you fear losing control. And the more you fear losing control, the more you want control. Right? It's this vicious cycle over and over and over again. The more we try to control, we get so consumed with the fear of losing it. And then we desire it more and more. You know, I think the big idea for this morning that I want us to walk away with, if anything, is this. It's simple to remember, but not simple to live out. You do not always have the power to control, but you do always have the power to surrender. None of us have the ability to control everything in our lives, right? You could have all the money in the world, and out of nowhere, that money is just gone, right? We could have all the family around us, and all of a sudden, they're not. We do not have the ability to control every aspect of our lives, but we do have the power to surrender. And let me tell you, there is something beautiful and powerful that happens when we surrender in our lives. We're going to talk about that today. And that could be so many things for us, but I think for you this morning, for each and every one of us, we have to open our hearts and minds and ask the question, what is that thing? What is that thing for us? So let's keep digging into the story real quick with Mary. An angel appears to the Virgin Mary, and a lot of people hear this and think, well, that's easy for her. She's the Virgin Mary. She's the mother of Jesus, right? She's the mother of our Savior and King. You know, there's statues that have been built for her, right? There's cathedrals that have pictures and sculptures of Mary. But that's not the Mary that is true to the Scriptures. Mary was a teenager. Mary was just a normal, average teenage girl, just a regular kid. She had hopes and dreams, right? She had desires for life. She probably had this idea that, you know, as soon as she's married to Joseph, she now has this security, and she now can bring children into the world the way she designed in her head to have that come about. You know, she didn't have options. You know, she probably wasn't thinking to herself. She was scanning the youth group for the boys in the crowd thinking, oh, I got my eye on that guy. That's not how it worked for her. She didn't have a lot of options. She didn't just go meet somebody. She had a limited community. So she is in this moment, and all of a sudden God comes to her and says, I got something different for you. I have something totally different than you can never dream or imagine. Disturbed and confused at first. Some of us are in that moment of being disturbed, being confused. It could be a number of things, but just like Mary, are we putting ourselves in a place to have open hearts and minds in such a way that it's okay to question something at first, but as we do business with God with those things, He is faithful and just to meet us in those things and bring that peace to our lives that only He can bring. That's how we have this ability to surrender, because the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God Himself, comes into our lives and brings this peace that only He can bring, even when things don't make sense. Some of us have experienced that, right? You don't know where you're going to get that next paycheck, or you don't know where God is taking you. You don't know what has happened. Like, why is my child, you know, going off the rails? And all you can do in that moment is surrender. But He is faithful to bring peace in those moments. So it could be a number of things for us. Mary didn't know the end story, right? Mary resolved in her heart to say to God, let it be, I trust you. But she had no idea what the end game was with that whole scenario, did she? She didn't know that Jesus would come and bring about this transformative movement and go to the cross, right, and die for the world. And she didn't know that millions and millions of people, you know, thousands of years later, were going to be following Jesus and trusting and believing on Him as Savior and King. She didn't know that. She just knew that God was going to do something with the child in her womb. And she was to trust that, to trust in the goodness and faithfulness to control. She had a choice. Was she going to control the situation, or was she going to surrender? Was she going to lay it down and surrender before God Himself? Even though she didn't understand the plan, she trusted that her Father had a purpose for her. So here's the deal. This is the part, I think, that we all come to a crossroads with. When we talk about this idea of surrender, it's not easy to do, is it? It's a simple concept, but it is not an easy act. Because the truth is, there's really no such thing as a partial surrender. There's no half surrender, right? When you think about two armies going to war, and they throw up the white flag, they're not saying to the other army, hey, yeah, we'll surrender part of this battle, but we get the rest. No, when they throw up the white flag, they are saying, we're done. We're done. We're laying it all down before you. You know, there is no 80% surrender with God. You know, it's not this thing where we can say, you know, yeah, God has saved my soul, but I still like to go and just kind of do what I want. That's not how it works. You know, I trust Him to redeem my past, but I can't trust Him with my finances. It just doesn't work. You know, I believe that He loves me unconditionally, but I still wash my sorrows away with the bottle. Like, those things aren't compatible. There is no such thing as partial surrender. That doesn't mean we don't have struggles. That doesn't mean that we're perfect all of a sudden. But what it does mean is that we have to ask the question, why do we have such a propensity to try and control? What is that rooted in? Why do we still struggle with that? You know, I know for me, my struggle with control has always been rooted in this idea of a lack of faith and trust. The more I overestimate my ability to hold on to things, to figure things out, to have solutions for all my problems. Right? That to me has always been my struggle with control. But the result is a growing propensity to underestimate the faithfulness and the goodness of our God. That's what it's come down to for me. When I overestimate my ability to control the situations in my life, it's because I underestimate God's ability to be faithful. God's ability to bring that peace that only He can bring. That shalom in our lives. Because the lie is that God helps those who help themselves, right? That the more we figure out life, the more God is gonna bless us and do things in our lives. That's not the gospel. That's not the gospel. The gospel to us is that Jesus came because there was no way. That God made that way because there was no way for us in and of ourselves to save and to heal and redeem. And so we believe the lie sometimes that I got to be strong. I've got to manipulate the situation, or I've just got to take the bull by the horns. You know, Matthew 16, verses 24 to 26 says this: Then Jesus told his disciples, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his very soul? What shall a man give in return for his soul?" In other words, to fully follow Jesus, we must surrender control. "Let it be," Mary said. "Let it be." And the interesting thing about this is how many of us know that surrendering control is not just a one-time thing, right? It's not just a one-time decision and then the rest is hunky-dory, right? No, it's a daily decision, isn't it? It's a daily decision to wake up in the morning and say, "Not my will, God, but yours." And the beauty of that is that the Holy Spirit, that God Himself, comes in those moments and gives us the ability, the gift of the ability to truly surrender to Him in those moments. He does. When we take a look at Mary's surrender, what is so interesting that every time she chose to surrender something, she eventually saw the evidence of God's faithfulness. She did. You can watch this again and again. Think about it. She's a virgin. She gets pregnant. And I've got to be honest with you. Like, as if I'm Joseph, in this very moment, at first, if my fiance comes to me and says, "Well, guess what? The Holy Spirit came to me." That's first, I'm like, "Oh, that's amazing, wow." And he says, "I'm going to be pregnant before we get married." He's like, "What? You going to do what?" Many of you don't know the story, but a while back, my wife really felt like God was calling her to this season of surrogacy. And many of you don't know, my wife was a surrogate. And that's, again, a story for another day. But that was something for months, if not years, that God was working on my wife's heart, and that she was doing business with God and toiling over this over and over again of like what this meant. And it was a long time before she even brought it to me to say, "I believe that God is calling us to do this." And you know what my reaction was at first? It was, "Oh yeah, let's go." No. My reaction was, "You want to do what? I don't have that conviction." But God made it abundantly clear for us that this was absolutely not only something we should do, but it was essential. Now, again, that's a story for another day, but you have to believe that when we surrender to God, He is going to be faithful to show up in those moments when we struggle. Mary's life wasn't, it wasn't this thing where Mary, when Mary said, let it be, that things went off the rails afterwards. That wasn't the case. Mary got to witness Jesus, or God's provision through the life of Jesus over and over and over again. You have to believe that she was at first probably concerned what people were going to think. How many of us here struggle with the control of worrying about what people think of us? And by laying that down, God was able to use that, and it was faithful in her life. So I'm curious for us this morning. This is kind of the question for the morning. What is it that you're trying to control that God wants you to lay down before him today and to surrender? What is that thing? I don't know. I can't answer that for you. But my heart and hope is that you would be open to God speaking into that this morning, because he wants to do something in our lives. As we surrender, he wants to show his faithfulness and his goodness to us. He wants to. So, I can't force you today to do that, but what I want to do is I want to create an opportunity where perhaps God can do something special in your heart, in your mind today. On your seat or near you, you probably saw an index card. I think it's a 5x7, maybe it's a 3x5, I don't know, I didn't measure it after or before. But I want you to take that card. And in a minute, we're gonna respond in song after communion, and we're gonna use that time as a time of response. And my challenge to you this morning is to do business with God in such a way where you ask God to reveal that burden that's on your heart that he is asking you to lay before him in surrender today. That could be so many things, right? It could be a relationship. It could be a marriage relationship. It could be a child that you know that is just going off the rails and you don't know what to do about them. It could be the fact that your finances are a mess and you don't know which way's up. There can be so many things that could be for us. Maybe it's a hurt that you have in your heart because you've lost somebody so dear to you. Do business with God this morning. And my challenge and encouragement is to write that down. And during the song, just pray over that. Pray over that thing. We're actually also going to do something a little bit different this morning as we finish up the service. Our team that usually is here in the front after service for prayer is going to be up front during the last song. And if you want to be prayed for and you feel led and compelled to come up for prayer, they're going to be up here to do that. And you can come up for prayer during the last song as a response to that time. And that'll be after communion. But I just want to invite you to write something down on that card. And hopefully you would choose to hand that burden over to him. I want to read one last passage. 1 Peter 5:7 says this. Cast your cares, all your worries and anxieties on him, your Father, because he cares for you. What's so special to me about this story of Mary is the angel appears to her, and what did the angel say to her? The Lord is with you. The God of all things is with you. He's with us. Who is Jesus? We just sang a song before this time that he is called Emmanuel, right? Which means God with us. God in the flesh, that God is with each and every one of us. And I hope you will feel that today. I hope you will believe that for you today. But if you want peace in your life, if you want the peace that surpasses all understanding, you must bear it all before him with honesty, with vulnerability, with surrender. C.S. Lewis said this in Mere Christianity, God cannot give us a happiness and a peace apart from himself, because it's not there. There is no such thing. We're going to go into a time of communion if you want to get your elements ready. You know, we talk about this idea of surrender, how Jesus surrendered just as much as anybody else, right? We see this beautiful picture about Jesus surrendering in the Garden of Gethsemane, right? Where he is prostrate before God in the garden, praying earnestly, right? It says that he prayed so furiously, so hard, that he sweat like drops of blood. It wasn't really blood that he was sweating, but it says he sweat so profusely like drops of blood pouring down his face because he was so earnest before God that he longed for God in that moment to take away, if there was any way, because again, he was fully human, right? That if there was any way for him to take this away and do his redemptive plan any other way, please make it so. But what did he say after that? Yet not my will, but yours. Jesus took this cup of suffering for us. That's what that was. He was faithful to the end, right? He said, let it be. Not my will, but yours. And he took the cup of suffering for each and every one of us. That's the beauty of this, right? Jesus said the exact same thing that Mary did. He said, let it be your will, not mine. And he goes to the cross. And you know what's crazy about this? Who was there watching him? His mother. Moms, can you imagine watching your son go to the cross, but knowing that he was the Savior of the world? Again, not my will, but yours. I don't have it all figured out, but I know you're going to do something far greater than I ever could dream or imagine. So that's what he did for us. He surrendered everything so that we could have life. We could be redeemed and have salvation for our souls. So let's go ahead and take the bread together. You know, one of the most pastoral and godly things Jesus ever did and ever said was in John 14, verse 1, when he said, let your hearts not be troubled. Believe in God. Just spit. That's great. Believe also in me. Let's take the drink and the juice together. As I mentioned, we're going to respond in song in a minute here. But I'm also going to invite our prayer team to come on up. And just take this time as we sing the song. You can stand to sing. You can sit and write on the card. You can come up for prayer. But either way, this is your opportunity to do business with God this morning and allow him to minister to your heart in maybe a way that you never have before. So let's go ahead and stand if you feel led to sing.